Sabbath. The parable of the sheep, Jesus asks the question, which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? The short answer to that question is no one. No one in their right mind would leave the 99 other sheep all by themselves. The shepherd has one job, which is to watch the sheep, keep them together, and protect them from any predators. That is the shepherd's job. To leave them alone would fail on these accounts. Jesus told a second parable about a woman who had 10 silver coins and lost one of them. Frantically, she swept the house, leaving no piece of furniture, no pillow unturned until she found it. Then she called all of her friends over, asking them to celebrate because she had found her lost coin. And I always thought that was a strange thing to celebrate. She was so happy this was over the top. I mean, a silver coin is a silver coin. Today's money, depending on how you value it, could run anywhere from $15 to $150. Quite a range there, but still, the value is nothing to sneeze at. But I would imagine the response would be a sigh of relief. Throwing a party. Okay, maybe a Facebook post would be in order. Take a picture of it. Hey, I found it! And everyone can click like. But then again, I also do notice the excitement on my son's face when we finally find that missing Lego piece from his latest set. Alright, I got it. But the point of these parables is that they are strange. And it's that strangeness that captures our attention. The shepherd, willing to risk everything for one lost sheep, points us towards Jesus Christ, willing to suffer and die as a condemned criminal, while also risking everything in order to save us fallen human beings. The woman throwing a party was meant to show us how much rejoicing there is in heaven when a single person is reconciled to God. As human beings, we are designed to be in relation with God, and cutting ourselves off from God is just as deadly as cutting ourselves off from oxygen and more food. It just takes a lot longer. So God, being a loving God, being a caring God, is not willing to let even one escape. Not willing to let even one fall through the cracks. God is going out after each and every one of the lost. When one is found, so much excitement. God is so overjoyed. These parables show the extraordinary lengths God goes to for the sake of reconciliation. So let's take the example of the woman who lost her coin. Jesus tells us she lights a lamp, she sweeps the house, and searches carefully until she finds it. Now, have you ever lost something in your home? I'm thinking particularly of something that's lost in the couch cushions. That is a real thing. Oftentimes, I will lose a remote control down there, and I dread tearing it apart to find what wasn't there. But I definitely have to have it. So now, once I do this, there are cushions all over the floor, I find bits of stale pretzels embedded into the fabric, and other unidentifiable snacks. And then I'm faced with a choice. Do I get out the dustbuster? Or do I just put the cushions back and cover everything up and pretend that nothing happened? In any way, I do have to put things back together once I find the reboot before I can finally settle down and relax with an episode of NCIS. And this is an experience that I don't like to repeat on any regular basis, and yet. The thing is, God has done so much more for us than reaching into some disgusting couch cushions for an hour or so. God has such great lengths to save and find those who who's going to the people, the people that needed the parables. The shepherd went out to find where that lost sheep was, out into the wilderness. And the lost coin, the woman searched her whole house. And while in today's day and age, many of our lost sheep are physically close, but in other ways, they are worlds apart. You may explain what I mean by that. And it has to do with our culture, because the culture around us is changing, in some ways changing very rapidly. So I've seen generations progress. There's individual identities becoming more and more important, even so much more important than a collective identity. Personal choice, desire, that become almost sacrosanct, to the point that people will resist any outside pressure to conform to some kind of norms. And that poses some challenges for a faith that asks us to die to ourselves so that we can live for God. We have this one culture happening outside of our walls, and I describe that as the wilderness. And at the same time, the culture within the church is aligned with a more collective culture. We were used to, we grew up with. People felt a sense of duty and responsibility to support the church as well as other institutions because there were things that were larger than themselves, and they saw this a force for good, something important to the world. And so we have these two cultures coexisting and yet having a very difficult time communicating with each other because they value such different things. And the things that they value cannot be physical. So it's almost like the Tower of Babel, where people's languages became so confused that they were talking past one another. You know, just like people in the parables going out into the wilderness to find the lost sheep. Today I might suggest we find ourselves in the wilderness language of battles. And while we are in this wilderness, there is still good news. Jesus has already gone to great lengths for us. So we know he's reaching out to our younger generations as well. Of course, it's unclear exactly what this will look like, but we can trust that it is good as it comes from Christ. It may be a renewed emphasis on personal choice and asking people to make a choice for the life of faith. Our baptismal theology stresses this in that what is required for baptism is to repent of our sins and to accept Jesus. It involves a choice. But it is a big choice, and probably one of the most significant choices a person will make in his or her life. The other thing we could do, those of us who are in the church, is to perhaps try out talking about some things that we are not used to. Things that are very true, but maybe we haven't spoken about them. I'm sure everybody here has had a number of overlapping experiences. Service or participate in the life of the church. To reach future generations, we may need to step into another wilderness and speak about some things that we're not used to. We may want to talk about our inner experiences, those of peace, comfort, the hope of heaven, or the world radically different from what we see today. We may need to mention that every time we do attend, it is a personal choice. That we always feel good about that choice. At least I hope that's true. It's certainly true for me. Our people are out there, and it is out there in a tight wilderness. I call it a wilderness because it's a world of thoughts and ideas and values that are different from what you're used to. But we don't have to fear entering into that wilderness. Jesus has already gone there. Jesus has already gone to so many worse places, so for him to reach out in the wilderness is really no big deal. He is already there. And if Jesus is there, then we too can enter this wilderness with values, thoughts, and ideas that follow Christ. We can be there and share what we ourselves have experienced, peace, comfort, and a connection to something larger than ourselves. Just like the rejoicing